Grab your Bible, you have it. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Once you have it, if you'll stand with me for a reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 39, look with me, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, and to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, she was fled forth. She called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. She laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home." Pray with me this evening. Heavenly Father, we do thank you as always, Lord God, for our time that we have for the preaching of your word. Lord God, the adequate time, the specific delivered time, Lord God, for you to be able to speak to us, to work, Lord God, in our hearts. Lord God, there are many resources and tools in which you use, Lord God, to teach us, to guide us, to move us, to mold us, Lord God, into the individuals that you have envisioned the potential for us to be. But Heavenly Father, as we come to that one of those moments yet once again, Father, how important the moment is, not for any reason, because of whom it is that stands behind the desk, Lord God, to have the blessing to be able to promote your word. But Father, that your spirit might take those words, even if feeble in deliverance, and Lord God, do a work in hearts that no man can do, none other, Lord God, than your living spirit. Lord God, we submit to it. We surrender to it this evening. And we ask, Lord God Almighty, as we speak concerning a subject mainly dealing with conviction, but barriers and guards, Lord God, that we place up so that we are not susceptible to the attacks of the enemy. Lord God, I pray that your work be done. I pray that your will be exercised this evening. And Lord God Almighty, I pray that the work that is done, Father, you might receive all the honor and glory, for we choose not to steal any of it from you, for you and you alone, Lord, are so deserving thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. With that introduction this evening, I'd like to preach a message that, in all truthfulness, I have to first extend proper credit to. What do I mean by that? When I was a man sitting in the pews before the Lord God called me to preach under the pastor in which called me to preach, he one evening preached a message titled to the very title in which I have given to this. It is his idea. Pastor Stephen Froehlke originated a message out of this passage of Scripture and the idea that I am going to bring forth. Now, granted, all of the material, all of the content, the alliteration outline, the development of them, it is all my material. But the thought, okay, in total transparency, did not originate with me. So I do want to give credit where credit is due this evening. But as we know, Joseph was a man that God used in an incredible way. He was literally a Christophany of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Now, if you're unfamiliar with what a Christophany is an Old Testament symbol of Jesus Christ that is brought manifest in the New Testament in a very tangible or specific and most times physical manner by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a Christophany. It's an Old Testament vision of Jesus Christ and his characteristics that he would then bring forth and manifest again in the New Testament day and age. Joseph, as we learn in the book of Genesis, was literally a savior of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, the people of Israel, probably would have been literally extinguished if it were not for Joseph. Amen? Obviously a symbol of the saving grace and the characteristic salvation offered by Jesus Christ to his people of Israel and ultimately grafted in us as his people. Now I want to talk to you tonight about a truth and a lesson we can learn from an experience Joseph had that placed him literally in prison for 2 years. I'm not here this evening to alter the Word of God. I'm not here to change the Word of God. And I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I know that the events and the circumstances that God allowed or facilitated with Joseph had a purpose, had a reason. But that does not mean that we can't take these stories or events in circumstances as such. God used Joseph in a very, very specific way. Was this event integrated in? Well, it's what brought it to its completion. Whether that was God's total plan or not, God only knows. However, we are able to take stories and circumstances that we find in God's Word like this, and we're able to glean some specific applicable principles of God from this. Miss Jean and I were speaking here this afternoon, and she had kind of made a statement, or she had alluded to the fact that she said some that are among her in her church and things, they kind of think that she's a little bit off kilter, if you will, at times, because she's always looking for a purpose of application to God's Word. To which at that point in time, I think all of you know me well enough, I said, what's wrong with that? She said, well, you know, she says, I guess I get a bit, if I can kind of use this verbiage, if you will, she says, I get maybe a little bit pushy because I want to know how I can use it. And I looked at her and I said, Aunt Jane, I said, listen, if I can't use this when I need it, what good does it do me? God's word is knowledge. But what is the definition, the simplistic definition of wisdom? Knowledge applied. If I can't use this knowledge to make it applicable to me, then it will never become wisdom for me. There's no purpose individually and personally for me. It's just knowledge. Now, knowledge is a wonderful thing. Knowledge is a great thing. But if I can't use the knowledge I have to benefit me when I need benefited, what good doth it do me? Amen? That's very, very applicable concerning what we're going to glean from this story this evening. What can I look at and understand out of this situation using God's principles? Using God's spirit of conviction, using God's spirit of appropriateness, what can I learn that can be applicable for me that will benefit me? So if I might have your heart for a couple of moments this evening, I'd like to preach a message I've titled many, many years ago, Abstain from That Which You Cannot Resist. Abstain from that which you cannot resist. And again, before I jump into this tonight, I want to say up front, I reemphasize, I'm not trying to alter God's purpose for this story. But I think there are some things that we can look at internally within the story that will help us, especially in our day and age and what has become of it. Amen? You know, we as Christians, we need to take more caution in the availability we present to Satan to destroy our testimonies. I want to say that again, and I'd ask you please to listen closely. We as Christians need to take more caution in the availability we present to Satan to destroy our testimonies. The Bible tells us our enemy, the devil, is a lion seeking to devour. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word vigilant in that verse, the word vigilant means watchful, circumspect, attentive to discover, and avoid danger. It means to provide for safety. Vigilant. It is the Greek word Gregorio. It means to keep awake. It means literally to watch. Be attentive. And please, listen, listen, listen. If Joseph would not have been in that house alone with this woman, who on past occasions had already tried to seduce him, would never have spent those 2+ years in prison. Period. We allow ourselves to get into predicaments that could have been prevented if we would simply adopt some sound standards and put up more concrete defense mechanisms for our testimony. So if you humble me for a few minutes of your time this evening, I'd like to teach you a truth that, quite frankly, if put into practice, it may just change your life in a good way. Because your life may just be altered in a bad way if you're unwilling to. I want to take our scripture passage this evening and teach you something through it in a topographical viewpoint. You say, what do you mean a topographical viewpoint? The topic is abstain from that which you cannot resist. Don't open up avenues for the devil to beat on you because you were not guardian enough with your activity. Amen. Look once again at our text verse this evening. Are you with me? Verses 6 through 9, the Bible says, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person, well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused. Well, praise God. And said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house. He hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Why? He even says, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin, not just against man, but against God? Miss Judy, I think the first thing I want to understand when dealing with abstaining from that which you cannot resist is be aware of the danger. This isn't, as they say, rocket science, friend. Be aware of the danger. Joseph was aware of the fact that Potiphar's wife was chasing him. Yes, she had done so before in the past. She was after him. It was no secret. Okay? She wanted to commit adultery and fornication with him. That was obvious. Joseph knew this, yes? I ask you then, why? Why? If Joseph was aware of this fact, why would he allow himself to ever be in the house with this woman alone? Period. You say, well, you know, preacher, there again, you know, God did this and God did that. I understand all that. But I'm asking you a logical question that can become applicable for you and your testimony and me and my testimony. If he's aware of this, Why would he ever allow himself to be in a situation susceptible to this? This, folks, please listen to me. I'm going to be very frank and blunt. This, ladies and gentlemen, was stupidity on Joseph's part. Amen. I do not hesitate to say that. This was foolish action on Joseph's part. He knew what was in her mind. Why would he have ever allowed himself in that home alone to give her ample opportunity to exercise what he knew she had in her heart? The same stupidity, listen, that you and I practice when we allow two teenagers of the opposite sex to ride in a car together. You know, well, they're young, it's their first date. Well, wonderful, fantastic, put a chaperone in the back seat. Amen? You say, oh, come on, preacher, that's so old-fashioned. Yeah, I know. Hey, I'll be careful with children tonight. But you know how many young ladies' lives have been ruined because they went out on a date alone in a car with a young boy? That would not have happened if there had been an appropriate chaperone sitting in the back seat. Amen? It's the same stupidity that you and I practice when we allow our child to stay in the house overnight with a friend or not, when there is a sibling in the house of the opposite sex near the same age. Yeah, you better say amen. My children never, when they were growing up, listen, they didn't stay at anybody's house, not even grandma and grandpa. Our children stayed at nobody's house. Well, they're friends. I don't care. Well, they'll be offended if we don't allow them. Okay. And they just happen to have a young lady or a boy the same age. And you're naive enough to think that they're going to stay in the same rooms where they're supposed to be. Amen. You see, this kind of stuff I don't make friends with. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to take you to a story, and this is not in the text this evening. But I don't remember quite how many years ago it was. I'm going to guess back maybe 5-6 years ago. In the beginning of my ministry here, there was a young lady, and her and her mother, they left, and they got a little disgruntled over, I have no idea what, didn't know when and why and what happened. But it came through circumstances a few years ago where they determined that they were going to conjugate a story about me. And they contacted another young lady from our church at that point in time, and they said, hey, you know, here's what we're going to put together and talk about or say to bring down Pastor Musgrave. And the accusation was that I had done something inappropriate with that young lady. To which the other secondary young lady replied, there may be some things you'll find against Pastor Musgrave that you'd be able to use, but that's not going to be one of them. As I sat in a room with many, many ladies who have talked with me in my office, you have never, and I repeat, never, been in my office with a closed door behind you alone. Ever. Ever. You will never. Just last week, I was speaking to a young lady. Yeah, I believe it was you, Kaylin. And my wife got up and she wanted to, I think she had to go after Charlotte for something. And she got up and she started walking out. And I said, don't close the door. And just out of habit, she started closing. I said, don't close the door. And she pushed the door back open. I have never, nor will I ever, be behind a closed door with any woman that is not my wife, no matter what age. Amen? Why? Because when an accusation comes to mind of something as such that they want to begin to take me down for, that'd not be one of them, because I have the testimony of an entire congregation who says, wait a minute, I met with him a lot of times, and you don't understand how ardent this man is about this issue. Why? Because I will not open the door for the devil to walk into it. Amen? Now, that's just one example. But again, you know, this whole situation, what can I derive from it? What can I need to be aware of the danger, friend. And so do you. And when aware of the danger, we need to prevent the adversary. We have that ability. God's given us wisdom. Why is it so difficult for it to exercise it? Okay? Not only must we be aware of the danger, but we must also build a barrier against the deception. I said a barrier against the deception. If you're still with me, look at verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, and she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me. And I cried with a loud voice. You say a barrier against the deception. What exactly does that mean, preacher? Joseph did not place any kind of common sense precautions into the circumstances leading up to this event. May I remind you, Joseph is second in charge in the entire kingdom. Egypt at this point in time is the most powerful kingdom in the world. Joseph is second in charge. Amen. You mean to tell me he could not have found a trustworthy servant and given him some kind of a small job in the house while he was going about his master's business that he had to be taken care of in the house? He's second in charge. When the man who's making the decisions, when the man who's literally determining what and where, Brother Robert, if you're a servant and I walk up to you, and you're out in the garden working, and I say, listen, buddy, I need you for a few moments in the house. I want you to go put the dishes away. You're going to stand and say, no, no, I'm working in the garden. No, sir. You're going to say, yes, sir. That's what you need. I'm there. Yes, and if I go into the kitchen and I'm finished in the kitchen, guess what? Robert, listen, I need you to come out in the living room and pick up the stuff underneath the couches. He could have found anything for anyone trustworthy to do. Amen? He's second in charge. He's the boss. Why did he not put up barriers when he was knowledgeable of what this woman had in her mind? He literally opened the door wide open. I mean, if you would have been another witness or two, there would have been another witness or two in the room. Not only would the whole ordeal been very difficult to pull off, but listen to me. I highly doubt that the lady of the house would have ever even tried such a stunt in the first place. Amen. Listen, Joseph never placed barriers up against deception possibilities that he should have been easily aware of. Are you listening? And you see, here's what we do as Christians, as parents, as overseers. We fail to prepare for deception that can be drawn from any kind of circumstance or event. And then when someone tries to falsely accuse us, we're shocked because no one will believe me. Amen. Taking once again the accusation I shared with you a moment ago. If normal practice for me, Brother Ian, would be meeting with young ladies or any ladies in inappropriate situations or alone, that probably would have flown as a possibility, huh? But when it was proposed, and people who know me said, that ain't gonna work. Why? Because that man puts up barriers so this can't happen. Amen. You know how many good men of God have fallen to false accusations because somebody got disappointed and angry? I'm not a perfect man, but listen, I have enough problems to be keeping track of. I don't need to be giving the devil open door opportunities for those that I'm not keeping track of. Hallelujah. You'll probably never find me take a little child, one of yours or another, out for ice cream or a trip to McDonald's alone. I've never done it. I'll never do it. I was a bus captain for 16 years. I was a bus director for 5 of those years. There has never been an opportunity I have ever taken a young child alone to any place. McDonald's, ice cream, the playground, anywhere. Well, preacher, you just don't love kids. No, I do. But I put up barriers so that something like that won't bring me down. Amen. Because listen, here's a revelation for you. I hope it's not too fascinating. People, you know what people do? People hurt people. That's what people do. Amen. And the sooner we become aware of that, and the sooner that I realize that if I'm going to have a testimony, I better learn how to protect my testimony, going to be the far better off in which we are. Because people hurt people. Amen. And you know what kind of people hurt people? Hurt people. Hurt people. Amen. I'm hurting, so I'm going to cause hurt for another. Amen. Most times for personal and selfish gain. Here's what happens. People are so offended by some of the barriers that we put up that we don't want to cause any ill feelings, so we won't take the precautions to guard against the dangers by putting in place the barriers in the first place. Because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You know, and ultimately, the unthinkable happens, and we wonder how something like that could have even happened. Do you understand that perception is 90% of reality? It's just a fact. You can argue it if you'd like, but the fact is our fact. Perception is 90% of reality. If something looks wrong and you cannot prove that it is not wrong, then most people think it's wrong. Amen. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, unless you can prove to me that it's a bear, it's a duck, friend. And I'm just like everybody else. Unless you can prove something didn't happen, it happened. Because the perception of it is 90% of reality. Amen. Now, placing barriers up to combat this many times, if not most times, is unpopular. But listen. I'm not looking to win a popularity contest. When it comes to this particular subject, I'm looking to protect my wife, my family, my ministry, and my life. I think of one time that I was, Mrs. Jewell, you may remember this, I'm not sure, but it was just the beginning of my ministry. And this is in the notes because I wrote this specifically when writing this message and the content of it. It's my first weekend here as their pastor. And I'm staying with the Jewels. And I've moved into the home that I would reside in down in Oakwood. But, you know, my wife was still in Mexico. She spent the first 2 weeks in Mexico, you know, letting me move alone. That's how she is. No, I mean, she was visiting her family in Mexico. Hey. And I have nothing in the house, nothing set up, just a bunch of boxes and so on. And the Jewels invite me over for dinner. Well, that's nice. So I go over and we have a lovely dinner, and fellowship together. And all of a sudden, this thing goes off, this beeper. And I see Brother Jewel's eyes get big. And this thing comes on with this, with this dispatch call. And Miss Cora, just as quickly as this thing going, or whatever sound it makes, Brother Tim is darting out the front door, jumping in the car to respond to a fire call. And I'm standing in his kitchen with his wife. I've just got here. And I'm standing in the kitchen with a man's wife as I begin to watch his taillights move down the roadway. Just as quickly as Brother Tim darted out the door to jump in his car to respond to the call, I'm running after him. Okay.
He didn't tie your shoes.
I didn't even tie my shoes, she says. All I remember is kind of standing there as I'm darting off of the porch saying, "Bye, Mrs. Jewel. Thank you very much for dinner. I appreciate it." And I'm chasing his taillights out the driveway. Why? His perception is 90% reality. And there was no way I was staying in that home with his wife when he just left. Are you listening? I remember driving home that night thinking, I wonder if she's offended. Are you listening? Hope I didn't hurt her feelings. Didn't have much time to explain, but I wasn't staying. Okay, you know the old saying, I don't care if you go home, but you can't stay here. I will never forget that, Brother Joel. But I would hope that that was the initial display of how I would guard my testimony in this area or arena. Because listen, we act like this, and many times it has potential to appear rude to someone. But friend, I do care, but I don't care. I think of the potential appearance first. I'll babysit feelings later. Amen. I'm worried first about the potential appearance. We'll pick the pieces up later. Are you listening? Well, Dad, what do you mean I can't go out on a date? You can go out on a date. You're just going to have Mom and I with you, that's all. Well, that's not much of a date. I don't care. I'm not asking for your permission. You're 17 years old. You're not going out with a boy alone. I mean, I have all kinds of stories. I'm going to run out of time this evening. I know it, but I remember when my daughter was dating my son-in-law. Some of you, Mrs. May's laughing. She's heard this story. I remember it was cold, just like it is right now. Just like it is right now. Okay? It's like 3 below. And my daughter wanted to cook dinner. This was during the time when her and Becca had the apartment together. Okay? They wanted to, she had just come back from college, or had come back from college, and now they want to live on their own, and that's fine. And she wanted to cook dinner. And she says, Dad, she says, like, cook dinner for Zach. That's sweet, baby. That'd be nice. She says, will you and Mom come? I said, absolutely. So we have a time. Now, I got tied up. I forget it was ministerial, okay? Something to deal with the ministry, but I got tied up. We were running a little bit late. And Zach had arrived on time, okay? And I remember we were going to be about 15, 20 minutes. And my daughter called me. And she said, Dad, how long are you guys going to be? I said, we're about 15, 20 minutes out. She said, Dad, it's freezing outside. She said, can I at least invite him in? He's setting out in the car. God is my witness. I said, young lady, you invite that young man into your house, into your apartment before I arrive. And I said, your evening's going to get ugly. I said, that young man does not enter that place with you until I arrive. Do you understand me? But Dad, and she started getting upset. I said, baby, you know me. This is not going to work. You can cry a lake of tears. That boy doesn't enter into your apartment without me and Mom there, bar none. We arrived 15, 20 minutes later. Zach's still sitting out in the car. Had a few icicles dripping off his nostrils, but he was still in the car. Amen. You got to put up barriers, friend. The devil will sneak in there. He'll kick that stinking door in if you leave it open a crack. He'll get in there and he'll stir that thing up. And you'll be answering questions you never thought would arise. Abstain. I said abstain from that which you cannot resist. What do I mean resist? There are certain things that happen that you can't help. But you can put up barriers against them so they don't happen. Amen. And this whole idea that we got to be so worried about feelings in the midst of it. Friend, listen. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt by some hurt people. Barriers against deception. So listen, two ways the world sees things, they both must be protected. What are they? That which is tangible, and that which is testimonial. And we must protect both. If you are not willing to place barriers up for protecting both, don't question when one or the other or both are questioned to you. Why? Because the devil is our adversary. And he is seeking about to devour you. Abstain, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from the very appearance of evil. What it looks like to most people is what it is. Amen. Finally, tonight, I want you to see that we must be bold with authoritative decisions. I said, be bold with authoritative decisions. Okay? Look one last time at the beginning verses of our text this evening, verses 5 and 6. Bible says, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph had been given a position of authority, and he needed to make some bold decisions to protect and administer that authority. Period. Full stop. And friend, he didn't do that. If you choose to stand up and lead, listen to me. Be prepared. There will always be those among you who want to bring you down simply out of jealousy. As sure as you stand in leadership, there will be somebody who have an angst against you because of it. Amen. You need to make some bold decisions. I hear Hollywood say all the time, my personal life should not play a part in my image. I hear politicians say all the time, what I do in my personal time is no one else's business. Listen, if the spotlight is too hot for your eyes, stay out of it, because it does not turn out at night or in the presence of our own house and privacy. We talked a little bit about this morning in Sunday school, okay? You choose a position of leadership, you ought to be ready, willing, and able to have eyes be looking upon you. If you're not prepared for that, then don't take the position. Amen. What I do in my private life, whether I like it or not, is all of your business. Amen. Well, it shouldn't be. That's not fair. It doesn't matter what's fair. It matters what's reality. Amen. I can never allow myself to be in a position of anything, Brother Ian, that would be questionable. Why? Because if you see it, you have questions. When I accepted the position, I accepted the responsibility. Any politician whining and crying because they got caught cheating on their wife and what they do in their own private life is their business is an idiot. Amen. You can't live the life, then don't take the position. If you're a maggot and you want to run around and cheat on your wife, well, then do so. Just don't put yourself in the public spotlight and then wonder why the spot lights you. Amen. I appreciate your support. Sometimes I don't make a lot of friends like this. This is truth, friend. And we all know it. The question, and it's all only the question left, is are we willing to live it? Amen. I won't walk out of my house to get a paper on the porch inappropriately dressed. You hear what I said? I won't walk by a window in some manner of inappropriateness. Amen. Protecting a testimony requires some bold, authoritative decisions. And if you're unwilling to make them, then don't tout the testimony. Because people are watching. Amen. I mean, over the years, you know, I want to share with you some of the notes that I wrote. Okay? I rewrote this some time back. I preached this in 2011 here on an evening. And I rewrote it specifically for some of the things that I would address in our church. And I wrote these notes. Over the years, you will probably become angry with me a time or two over this. But if you plan to allow me to be your spiritual guidance for years to come, then it is going to take some bold, authoritative decisions that you will have to tolerate. One or two of which somewhere along the line are going to not agree with me. I will love on you. I will teach and guide you. But please, please, please don't ever expect to win an argument with me concerning convictions and principles. One of us are going to end up disappointed. I'm reading this verbatim. What I wrote for this church in 2011 when I preached this message here. One of us are going to end up disappointed. And if you are talking about my testimony or principles or your feelings, guess who'll be the one disappointed? Folks, listen to me. You're not always going to agree with me on everything I teach you concerning this subject, but I promise you this, if you take the time to evaluate them with an open heart and leadership in mind, they will protect you. Because once the damage is done, it can never be taken back. Once the damage is done, it can never be taken back. Joseph's life would never be the same. Now you say, well, you know, no, he came out of prison. And when he went to prison for 2 years, people, for something he didn't do. And had it not been for God intervening in a baker and a butler, he'd probably still rot there. All because he didn't exercise the wisdom and the knowledge that God had obviously given him the ability to have. Why is it that we can be smart people and we do such dumb things sometimes? Well, you know, so-and-so's not going to like it. Well, stinks to be so-and-so. Because you can't operate this with a popularity contest. If I have a young lady in my office pouring out her heart because her life's falling apart and she's sharing intimate things and she keeps looking behind to see the door open and she's thinking, why don't he close that? Isn't my personal and intimate ideas and thoughts and hurt and heartache important? Certainly it is. But the devil's just waiting for me to walk up and close that door. You want to talk privately? You want the door shut? Bring a lady with you. Let my wife come join us. Amen. Not because I don't love you. Not because I don't care. Not because it's not important. But the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeketh about. It don't take much. And once it happens, you can't ever change it. Brother Tim, you know how many good men of God have been brought down by this very subject? You say, why wouldn't God stop something like that? He gave us the ability and the wisdom to be able to stop it ourselves. So where's our excuse lie? Who's at fault? I'll share one more story quick. It's 10 after. I remember, if my memory serves me correctly, my eldest son had just come back from his first tour of duty in Iraq. He'd been to college. He was now in the Marine Corps for 2 years. He served his first 7 month or 8 month tour of duty in combat. He came home to visit after that first tour. Ms. Corey asked to borrow our car. He wanted to go, wanted to go out and, see some friends on the town and so on. Sure. I'm a pastor in this town. Not this town. We're in Gaylord, Michigan. One of the friends from our church said, hey, brother, I just want you to know, I seen your boy out riding around with a specific young lady from the college the other evening in your car. I said, really? Yes, sir. He said, I thought you ought to know that. I said, oh, yeah. That's something I should know. Very often that boy came home. I sat him down on the sofa. Now, he's seen a lot of dying in the last 7 months. He's an adult. He's been on his own now for at least 4 or 5 years. And in no uncertain terms, Mrs. Bowers, I looked my son square in his God-given eye, and I said, young man, listen to me. Don't you ever take my vehicle and do something inappropriate in this town that I serve as God's man. Never. Well, Dad, don't you even give me excuses. I don't want to hear them because none of them are acceptable. You ever borrow my vehicle again and do something like this, it will be the last time you touch a vehicle, and I don't care where you've come from and what battle you just fought. Amen. Because he might have been fighting a battle there, but guess what? If he was going to do that stupid stuff in a town that I was trying to grow into being a pastor and trustworthy with a testimony, I was fixing the beginning to fight a battle there. Amen. We got to be sensible about this, but listen, to some this sounds extreme. Right up until the point in time somebody makes a false accusation. And then you look back and you say, why didn't I? Woulda, coulda, shoulda. All while I'm falling down in the rubble. Now, there may be something along the way, but I'm telling it boldly and publicly tonight. You're going to have to look a little harder for it than something simple. Because I will not let my guard down for the simplicity of the devil to creep right in unbeknownst. Avoid that which you cannot resist. Did God use Joseph? Absolutely. In a mighty way. He He was a Christophany, man. He was a symbol of Jesus Christ himself. But he did not exercise the wisest of decisions in this particular situation when he should have known better. Amen. Avoid. I said avoid things that you cannot control. Do not open the doorways for the enemy and make it so stinking easy for him. I mean, for the love of Jesus and what he's given for us, we ought to at least make him work hard for it. Let's stand this evening. Abstain from that which you cannot resist. We talked about be aware of the danger. Talked about barriers against deception. We talked about bold with authoritative decisions. Guards. Guards. Barriers. Protection. Hey, it's your testimony, friend. What's it worth to you? It's the manner in which others see you. What's it worth to you? This thing ain't about feelings. This thing is about wisdom. This thing is about smart decisions. This thing is about not allowing myself to be susceptible to that which he's seeking for the opportunity to do so. The piano begins to play softly, and you stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, with the Holy Spirit of God tugging on that heart. If you hear that rumbling, you feel that rumbling, listen, that's not bad pizza. God's saying, hey, you need to get some of this. You need to get a hold of this tonight. Our testimony does mean something. How am I going to be an influence for the kingdom of God and for God if I allow the devil to destroy my testimony in the midst of it? I can't be effective for anyone, including myself. Joseph knew what was on that woman's heart. He knew what she intended to do. Why would he be so shallow as to allow the ample opportunity for it to be exploited? I don't know, preacher. I mean, this is Joseph. It's the Bible. Yeah, and there's a reason that God put this stuff in there. Amen. We're going to take communion in a few moments. Let me ask you a very, very direct question. How's your heart tonight? How's your heart? You all right with man? You all right with God? You know, if I was an individual who God was working on me and challenging me a little bit on my convictions and the manner in which I live my life so that I can be more effective for him, and I keep denying him and pushing him away, I would say that that's not necessarily a position of being all right. Amen, preacher. Friend, this might not save your literal mortal life, but it sure will save the life you live within it. Protection comes at a cost. Protection comes at a cost. God never said it'd be easy. Just worthwhile. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our time tonight. I pray, Lord God, as Antonio has got this fill of what he wondered and was curious about, but Lord God, I pray that in all seriousness, we take great measure. And Lord God, the teaching and the understanding that can be gleaned from this story. Lord, you know it's never our heart to twist your word. Lord God, that's not what this is about tonight. But using your principles and your statutes, your teachings and your guidance, Lord, upon a story, Lord, that in which you used a man in a mighty way. Absolutely. We don't deny any of it. But Lord God, there are still things that we can glean concerning applicable points, such as, Father, we can make and allow and become part of our own to help protect us, in which we can be effective for you as well. In Jesus' name, amen.